festive season, food and wine and all of that, cricket, sport. It's part of the season. Tennis is coming up around the corner, but there's more. There's more. There's bits for the other side of your mind and soul as well. Tell us more. We're joined by performing arts writer and broadcaster Richard Watts. Richard, welcome to RN Summer Breakfast.
Thank you, Jonathan. Pleasure to be here.
The year ahead in the performing and visual arts, a feast?
Very much a feast, and one that, I guess, kicks off with Sydney Festival, which is running from the 7th until the 27th of January. And then that begins a cavalcade of festivals around the country. Here in Melbourne, festival season comes quite late in the year. The rest of the country get in early, and I'm quite jealous. So you've got Sydney Festival, Adelaide Festival, Perth Festival, but then you've also got the likes of MOFO, Mona FOMA, as it's known in full down in Tasmania, in Hobart, at the Museum of Old and New Art. You've got Midsummer Festival, the Mardi Gras has a cultural program as well, and then you've got more specialist festivals such as the cabaret festivals as well.
Always struck me with Sydney Festival, as you say, coming up in days, and that this is such a good time for a festival, you know, in your summer.
Absolutely.
As opposed to your Melbourne Festival in your...
Well, it's interesting. It says something about the difference between the two cities, I think, that one is kind of, in Melbourne, the festival is very inward focused and it's all about events in theatres and so forth. Sydney Festival very much is a festival for and of Sydney in the summer. And as a result, lots of free outdoor performances, lots of live music. It's got a very, very kind of accessible and populist bent, but which isn't to say that it doesn't have some serious capital A art.
Let's look at some of those serious capital A acts and names.
Well, one of the events that's definitely caught my eye is a new theatre production, Black Diggers, which is directed by Wesley Enoch, the artistic director of Queensland Theatre Company, and written by Tom Wright. It's an exploration of our Indigenous soldiers and an element of history that has been very much overlooked. So it's part of that reclaiming of culture, but also discovering a culture that for many people is a hidden history. Aboriginal servicemen who went to fight in World War I were perhaps equal when they went overseas to fight, but came back and were still objects of derision and scorn.
Yes, that's a very, very, very timely piece. All right, so Sydney Festival, that's, I think, check local guys for further details.
Definitely, I can give people the website if they would like a little more detail.
Well, I think they should.
Just sydneyfestival.org.au. And then the next major festival coming up on the event, it's certainly major for Melbourne and indeed becoming one of the leading gay and lesbian cultural festivals internationally, is Melbourne's Midsummer Festival. That's running from the 12th of January until the 2nd of February, and again features a surprisingly strong cultural program. I say surprisingly because people who aren't perhaps a member of the gay and lesbian community might think, surely it's just all about parties. But, for example, at Midsummer you can catch an event called Homophonic, which is classical music by contemporary composers and given a bit of a queer twist.
Okay.
So you have the likes of the Australian composer David Chisholm. So new classical works. It's always difficult to talk about new classical music because it's not part of a classical canon yet.
And how do we give it a queer twist?
Well, by having composers who are themselves gay and lesbian, or an ensemble of very, very successful musicians, some of whom recently, for example, were part of the orchestra for the Ring Cycle, who are also themselves queer. So queer musicians playing queer composers, but for a very general audience at Midsummer. The flip side of that is perhaps an event called The Temperamentals, which is a play for anyone who's a fan of the TV show Mad Men. It's set in the 1950s. And is a theatre production in looking at gay life in America in the 1950s, which is, again, something of a contrast. We think about the 1950s, we think buttoned down, repressed, we think homophobia, we think reds under the bed scares, that kind of thing. Not necessarily a time that the gay community was fighting and people were falling in love.
A seedy mass of libidinous intent underneath that buttoned-down exterior. Let's work south, Richard, too. You mentioned MOFO in the...
MOFO in Tassie. Tassie. Yep, running from the 15th to the 19th of January. Full program details at mofo.net.au.
And that's bound to be a confronting affair?
It is always a very eclectic festival. Now, there are, of course, some big live music events. They've had in the past people like PJ Harvey, for example, playing kind of big public and quite accessible gigs. But given that it's part of David Walters Museum of Old and New Art, Mona, yes, there will be some challenges. One of those groups performing is Matmos, who are a duo who in the past have created music using bodily fluids and burning flesh. So,
As you do.
So their performance, I mean...
Australian Chamber Orchestra, take note.
Yes, well, it's certainly veering in a somewhat different direction. And equally eclectic over on the other coast, you've got Fringe World in Perth, which is a festival running from the 24th of January until the 23rd of February. Full details at fringeworld.com.au. Now, Fringe festivals have been around since the 1950s. Perth's Fringe Festival, Fringe World, is very, very new. And to my mind, and I am biased, I'm an ex-chair of the Melbourne Fringe Festival, but I would say that Fringe World is currently one of the most exciting fringe festivals in the country.
So the fringe idea, I mean, it used to be what it says on the outskirts of a major festival. Now there are sort of events in their own right with a particular sort of rationale and charter. I mean, what are fringe festivals trying to achieve, do you think?
What I think they're trying to achieve is to give artists the freedom they would not have to create elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So by staging a fringe festival, there's a guarantee that there will be an audience rather than perhaps doing an independent fringe production, independent kind of avant-garde theatrical production in a basement, in a car park, kind of in the middle of winter when no one might see it. You put it on as part of a festival, you're guaranteed a larger, at least some audience attention. And there's the opportunity for established artists to create new work and new artists to create new
road tests, some ideas.
Yeah. So at Fringe World, for example, you have the Brisbane Theatre Company, Cassis, who are doing fantastic contemporary circus work. They're doing presenting a solo show, Jerk, presented by Emma Sargent. So it's a chance for an established ensemble to create a solo piece for one of their performers. And you've also got the world premiere of a cabaret performance by gold medal Olympic diver Matthew Mitchum.
Of course you do.
Now, this is a show that I'm very intrigued by.
It's a concept which is well overdue.
He does play ukulele. Anybody who follows...
As he tumbles through the air in a perfect half pike and
that
twist.
That could be a little more challenging. I suspect he's going to be slightly more static on this. But Twists and Turns is Matthew Mitchum's debut cabaret performance based on his autobiography. So it's Matthew singing and performing. He does have a musical director. I'm told he's actually very talented musically as well.
Yep.
So he'll be performing Twists and Turns at Fringe World. Then it will also appear at both the Adelaide Cabaret and Melbourne Cabaret Festivals as well.
Dear me, so much.
There's so much on Perth Festival from the 7th of February to the 1st of March. There's a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream described as part theatre, part circus, part dance, featuring 5-metre-tall puppets, acrobats and an opera singer. Now, I'm certainly intrigued
by
that.
Sadly, no Olympic divers.
No Olympic divers. You can't have everything.
No, I guess. We have to draw the line.
Yes. And then, of course, you've got, Adelaide Festival up in Brisbane. You've got the World Theatre Festival,
yep,
which is a fantastic festival that I went to for the first time in 2013. That's at the Brisbane Powerhouse. So, really, the year in performing arts is about to go gangbusters.
Well, with a huge January, and we've not talked about any visual stuff. We might get to some of that when you join us again next week for another look at arts and culture. Richard Watts, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
My pleasure.